Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this. What I believe is, am I right, Granny? Is this the final episode of Cult Potato? The grand finale? You have a look of pain, of severe pain on your face.
After this movie, I'm not watching another.
Okay, again, you did pick this movie.
I did, but you suggested it.
It was a surprise to me. I had no idea. Over the years, I suggested it to you because it's garbage.
I'm going to pre-apologize for the audio mixing on this one. So for everybody who is not currently sitting in the room, we watched a film together.
Yes, yes. First and last time we've done this on the show.
And we're sitting in the same room recording on one mic, so she might be a little toasty, this audio recording.
Anyway, Grady, what film was this, Grady?
This was The Room. I'm not even... No playing around, we watched The Room.
I've been trying for a number of years to get you to watch that movie. I kind of gave up a while ago, because I thought, oh, you'll never watch it, then. Out of the blue, you're like, no, that's what we're watching today. We're watching the greatest movie ever made, right, Grady?
I thought, hey, there's no better way to end your show, the final episode ever of a cult movie podcast, by just tanking it and watching The Room.
Now, okay. For those of you who don't know what The Room is, it is a film from 2003, right?
Yeah.
Produced by Wiseau Films.
Starring Tommy Wiseau.
Directed by Tommy Wiseau. Written by Tommy Wiseau. Produced by Tommy Wiseau. Executive produced by Tommy Wiseau. What is the difference between executive producer and producer?
Money.
Well, probably. Yeah. It's a notoriously awful film, famous as one of the worst movies ever made. Probably the best bad film to watch. Because there are some films out there that are bad, they're just unwatchable and just unfun to watch. But at least this one, you can kind of watch it. Like, you can watch it, make fun of it. It's fun to riff on. Like, for a number of years, this was my go-to, party film that my friends and stuff would watch at parties. This was a while after you'd moved away from Hamilton, Grady Hensway.
You are a cruel human being making others watch this film.
Yeah, but no, it's a fun movie to watch along, riff with other friends, because it is a terrible,
it is
terrible
hot movie. Garbage.
Yes, and Grady, you had never seen this movie before.
No, I just knew it was a film you wanted me to watch, and I came into it, and that's what I got.
How blind were you going into it?
Completely and utterly. I didn't even know, the famous lines that, goddamn, my partner across the room recognized.
Yes, yes. She was just like, oh, that's where this is from. Especially that, oh, hi, Mark. Which is probably the most famous line from this
movie. And then I don't even know that line. Yeah. And I'm just so confused. I knew nothing other than this was a bad film.
Yes.
That's all I knew.
And it was fun to, it's fun to watch someone who's never seen this movie before be introduced to, the newest part, to be introduced to, the famous parts of the film for the first time. Like, of course, there's the famous flower shop scene.
No, there was 30 seconds of movie that either should have been 5 minutes or 0 seconds.
Yeah. We had to establish that Johnny bought flowers, Grady. How else did you expect us to establish that he purchased the flowers with money? I mean, what, for him to just show up in a scene and be like, hey, I bought these at the store.
You gotta show, not tell.
Yeah, exactly.
I went to film class. I don't know if Tommy did, fair.
And again, the lady, Johnny was her favorite customer. We have to know at all times how beloved Johnny is in the community.
If I get told one more time that Johnny is a lovely man, I swear to God.
Grady, he's so financially stable, Grady.
It's not anything else stable. At least he's got one thing going for him.
Yeah, okay, so you may notice that we're not talking a lot about the plot.
Because there was a plot of this film?
There isn't really a plot in this movie. Johnny,
you can't even begin to try and explain this.
He's engaged to a woman named Lisa. Lisa cheats on him. Johnny finds out and kills himself.
That's the film.
That's the film, yeah.
Over an hour and a half with 7 different sex scenes.
Oh, you were joking when you thought I was joking when I said Grady. Well, no, you didn't think I was joking, but you just didn't realize how deep that rabbit hole went. Because I assume you thought that, it handled sex scenes in the way movies usually do. There's one, maybe two, you know, handled a bit tastefully. They don't go on for, like, forever.
I feel like this was more of a porno than a movie. If you just cut out the whole, like, suicide at the end
just,
part.
Just in the first half, if you'll notice in the second half, there were, like, no sex scenes.
Yeah, cut the movie in half, sell it as a porno, it'll sell better than whatever the hell this crap was.
What a though? Would people want to watch Tommy Wiseau getting this freak on?
He was only in, like, two of the scenes.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, this was... Okay, this is largely a vanity project by the film's director, producer, writer, and everything else. And lead actor, Tommy Wiseau, a man who is a man of many mysteries, the least of which is where that accent comes from. Because when I first saw this, I thought he was putting that accent on. But, there he is, there's the book, there's you noting down my...
Your swears?
My swears? Oh, I've never seen it happen in real time.
Yeah, I gotta write down all of the swears. At least we won't have times where you drop off Discord and I have to edit. I don't think that goes true. Down.
Hang on, I'm just gonna quickly look it up because I don't know where Tommy Wiseau was from. I couldn't make a guess.
Oh, I didn't even Google that.
Okay.
Where's it claiming he's from?
Okay,
Transylvania.
Poland.
Alright.
And I'm listening to him and I'm like, that doesn't sound Polish. He doesn't... I honestly would have guessed, like... Okay, Slavic, one of the Slavic countries, yeah, but I didn't...
Poland's pretty close.
Yeah, I couldn't really place him there. I know another one is that apparently there's this thing about how, like, he's never... Oh, no, people can't really place where he gets his money from.
Mm.
And I've heard some rumors that it may be from illicit activities, although, as I understand, I think it's probably from real estate. Because as terrible as this film was, that still costs money. Like, that's still... You still need those films. Well, you still need that money, sorry, to produce that film. Like, he had a cast and a crew. That stuff ain't cheap.
Yeah, especially when he didn't understand the difference between an HD camera and 35mm film and bought a $100,000 HD camera.
Yes, you did. You did tell me about that during the film, that he had no idea that what the difference between a film camera and an HD camera was, so he just shot it on both simultaneously.
So stupid.
It's profoundly stupid.
And he didn't even rent the camera. He legit just bought it outright for $100K.
Yeah, he just bought it.
Oh my god. This is just the Screw Tommy podcast. I don't know how long this is going to go. Yeah. Do you, first, I guess, put it in here now. Do you have anything good to say about this film?
It's genuinely fun to watch. I enjoy watching it because watching someone fail at something, but with such an earnest attempt at it, is fascinating.
Yeah. It was so... There's, like, I guess I've seen already, like, mixed reviews on whether he was trying to make a It's So Bad It's Good film, or if he was trying to make a film.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think he was trying to make a film and just absolutely screwed it.
Yeah. Like, most of the claims from him saying, no, this was a satire, I was trying to make a bad movie, most of those claims of his came after the film blew up in popularity. And as I'm pretty sure it says it in the Disaster Artist, the book detailing, like, chronicling the making of this film, during filming, he was adamant that this was a serious film.
Of course.
Yes. Probably the most notable and most mainstream thing to come out of this movie is, of course, the book written by the guy. His name is Greg, I'm pretty sure, the guy who plays Mark in this film.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a book about his experiences on this film, which became like a bestseller. And then that was adapted into a movie made by Seth Rogen and James Franco. So, you know, some pretty big, like, Hollywood power behind that film. And from what I've heard, I haven't actually seen it, but from what I've heard, it's actually a pretty solid movie.
Yeah, I've just, I did ask you at one point, I was like, hey, has this film been in cinemas? It did play in at least one cinema for 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
so that he'd be eligible for Oscar nominations, because he thought he'd get those.
Yes.
But funnily enough, The Disaster Artist received an Oscar nomination for Best Adapted Screenplay. Jesus. Tommy.
Yeah. And what's funny is that, do you know who plays Tommy Wiseau in The Disaster Artist?
You told me while we were sitting on the couch.
But I told you that early on in the film, and then that just got pushed out of
Dave Franco.
Yes, Franco played him. And it's funny to go from Wasso, who's this just... who genuinely... I use this term a lot while watching this film. He looks like a skinwalker. He looks like, you know, like some sort of alien has just fit inside like a human skin suit. And he's being played by James Franco, who's, you know, an attractive... Wait, was it James Franco or was it Dave Franco? One of them. It's been played by like an attractive Hollywood actor, which I find very funny.
Hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. There's so much wrong with this film, man. There's just everything. I can't, like, understand what I've just seen. Like, we legit finished watching the film, got up, walked into this room, and started recording.
Yeah. And it's funny, because usually when you do, you know, the whole thing of, oh man, this is such a bad movie, I don't know how to process this. But The Room, it really isn't, like, you're not exaggerating. It is genuinely, like, what do I do now? Like, how do I process what I just saw?
Yeah, it's... Look.
That little laugh. That's all I've got, man. Okay, well, Grady, oh man, you know what we're going to do when this recording finishes? We're going to go into the backyard, we're going to get the old pigskin out, and we're just gonna play some football, Grady.
I don't want to play football. I've seen enough football today.
And what I love is that he keeps doing it, and it's not plot relevant whatsoever. It's never clear why they're playing football.
They're not even playing football.
It's not football, it's catch. We have a name for that game. It's just catch.
They're throwing the old pigskin around. God, this guy is like, if you gave full creative control to a nutcase of a movie, and he just made whatever movie came to his hallucinated brain, he thinks of a cool idea, like I'm reading here, he wanted to be a vampire, and he wanted his Mercedes-Benz to fly off the roof. And, like, he was refused to use any, like, French words, like fiancé. That's why they kept saying future husband.
Yeah, I noticed that. He's your future, you're my future wife, my future husband. Again, skinwalker dialogue. Grammatically, it makes sense, and it does make sense. Like, I can parse that as, like, an actual English sentence. Could not imagine another human being talking to me in that way.
Yeah, in the football scenes, to tie it all together, Greg, who we talked about, who wrote the book, Wasso kept dropping the ball,
yeah,
to be annoying, and Greg decided to say catch this in French just to annoy him, and Wasso just full on tackled the guy and was screaming no French, no French. They kept it in the film. It was that scene when they were tussling in the park. My God.
You mean the scene that was obviously dubbed over, like most of Wasso's scenes?
Why did we dub Wasso? What happened?
I think it's because the way he talks, it's just so incomprehensible that they just had to make him ADR it, or else you'd never be able to tell what he was saying.
It was so bad. Like, I noticed it at the start. I was like, alright, his lips are not synced. And then it just got worse and worse and worse.
Like, the times where his mouth would just open up slightly, and then a full sentence would just come streaming out.
Yeah, it's... Oh, look, the rooftop scenes were filmed with a green screen. Crazy.
You couldn't tell. It was just flawless.
I love the second part of this fact. Just like, an actual rooftop was available. It was just never used during filming.
Oh.
All the rooftop scenes looked horrible. They were green screened to shit. There was no wind. This movie sucked.
This movie sucks.
This movie has no redeemable factors. Like, sometimes I walk in and be like, okay, that movie's not for me. It's like an artsy movie. Maybe, yeah, I don't get it, whatever. This movie is garbage.
It sucks.
It's just absolutely terrible. And I think it perfectly fits that category of cult classic film.
Yeah, it's so... It's not just that it's bad. It's bad in very baffling ways. Like,
yeah,
there's obvious technical stuff like we've discussed, but then there's just decisions in there that you just have to wonder, why? Why would you pick that?
I was asking why, like, every 3 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Like, again, the flower shop scene. Why is that in the movie? Why is that in the movie, Grady?
Wait, flowers.
You know, there's the scene where they're in the coffee shop, and then out of nowhere, Tommy Wiseau takes the hardest left turn I've ever seen, where he goes, anyway, how is your sex life? Which is another very infamous line from this movie.
Yeah, it... I don't even know. It was, like, every scene that wasn't in the, like, office or the apartment building was just nutty as hell.
Yeah. Like, Grady, we have to shoot this, we have to shoot Johnny walking around the city to illustrate how Johnny lives in San Francisco. How else are they not going to understand that he lives in San Francisco? It's so essential to the plot.
No. I feel like I lost brain cells watching this film.
But Grady, how could you? Johnny, he's such a nice man and he's so financially stable.
I would he's have left future Johnny husband, Grady. In seconds. I'd have been out of there. I'd have not put up with that shit.
Well, this is a man who I wouldn't allow near children, let alone enter into a relationship.
Yeah.
Like, for years, I just assumed that, okay, you've got the thing there, so maybe you can tell me, but that thing he's got on his head, is that a... That's not a wig. Like,
I don't think it is.
I'm dead certain that is his actual hair. That has never seen any shampoo or conditioner. Like,
nope, that needed to be washed the second he walked on.
It was so greasy.
It just stood. Like, you could have lifted some of the chunks up, and it just would have pointed upwards.
Yeah.
So nasty.
That's why they didn't have any wind on the rooftop, Russell would have.
It looked horrible.
He would have looked like Sonic the Hedgehog. All his little quills would have been pointing back.
I'm just... Look, outside of the film, right, there's just so much garbage, and I keep reading more and more facts about the garbage here. Like, it was already bad enough. You mentioned it was filmed, like... consecutively. But Johnny or Tommy, same person at this point. Oh look, I swore. That's a new
Yay.
One.
Yay.
Insisted every single cast member be present during every single scene in case he decided to throw them in.
Yeah. That's a great use of your actor's time and a great way to allocate budget. You know, it's great to pay for your actors to be on set at any given time.
And the script was so long, with so many monologues that didn't make sense, the cast couldn't understand, they rewrote it on set so that the cast could figure out what was actually happening. An anonymous cast member said, stuff that was just unsayable. I know it's hard to imagine there was stuff that was worse, but there was. And when Tommy had his sex scene with Lisa, he demanded that the scene be open instead of closed.
Yes!
So that everybody could watch. It was, ugh. Yeah.
That's what professional film productions are known for, having open sets for sex scenes.
Ugh. And he wanted all 6 minutes of the sex scene to be included in the film as well before they cut it to three, and that was already 3 minutes too long.
But Grady, I mean, how could you not want to see more of that Adonis on screen? I mean, we got to see Tommy Wiseau's bare naked ass, Grady. His bare ass.
Which again, from another fact, made the editor's wife, like, vomit and recoil.
And he begged to have it cut, but Tommy's like, no, that's what's going to sell the movie. How old was Tommy Wiseau at the time of filming, Grady?
I took that note.
I believe you said 48.
48, Tommy was.
And how old was the person playing his love interest?
23.
23? Yep, I also read that apparently the actor playing Lisa was very uncomfortable. very uncomfortable.
There was meant to be a second sex scene, but they had to cut it because she refused to do it.
Can't blame her. Cannot blame her.
Did you know that there were 7 mentions of Johnny and Mark being best friends? And at screenings of the film, attendees loudly count these occurrences.
There was also the pictures of spoons, which... Like, I think what happened is that they just bought photo frames for the film, and those are like they're the default photos that come to the thing they're supposed to replace, but they didn't, so he's just a psychopath. Who has pictures of spoons in his place? So people will bring spoons to screenings.
You can do whatever you want. This movie screening, man. I would not be watching this movie again.
Yeah, they'll bring spoons and footballs to like throw at the screen.
This is a one-time watch film for me.
I'll be watching this film many times before I die.
I've seen it. I went, cool. That's it. That's the film. Mm-hmm. I have experienced The Room. I do not wish to experience this ever again.
Yeah, and as I've said before, it's great. This isn't even the worst film I've ever seen. This is the best of the bad movies, Grady.
No.
But I have to ask, Grady, okay. Favorite character, favorite scene?
Nobody and nothing. I don't think there was a scene in this movie.
Oh, come on, you didn't tell me the part with Chris R. Do you remember who that was?
No.
He was the drug dealer.
Oh, the fight on the roof.
the quote-unquote fight on the roof.
Look, if you're forcing me to pick a favorite scene, the time that I laughed the hardest was the flower shop scene, because it was pure absurdity. So I'm going to vote flower shop scene.
My favorite scene is definitely the scene at the end where he's throwing his little tantrum. That's what it is. It's not like a full-on mental breakdown. He's just kind of casually pushing stuff off of shelves.
Yeah.
And the scene where he picks up the TV and throws it out the window always makes me laugh because the comedic timing on it is perfect. Like the time when it goes out the window and lands, I'm pretty sure I've seen that exact pacing on like sitcoms and stuff.
Yeah, it was fun to watch him wreck the set, but, like, at that point, I was so zoned out of this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I almost had to be caught up on so many plot points, because I just did not comprehend what was happening.
Yeah.
It was just all over the place.
Yeah.
And I know usually you do the budgeting stuff, but I'm gonna mention some budgeting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's $6 million, first off. Six too many
million. I genuinely did not cost that much.
He claimed it cost so much because so many of the cast and crew had to be replaced. And each of the cast members had several understudies. Stop replacing your cast members in the middle of the film. Though, to be fair, if they're walking off, don't a really get the choice. A few of them did walk
off. Like, the guy who played Peter walked off. Because you notice how, towards the end of the film, there was that random guy who had never shown up before, but was now suddenly... like the group confidant,
yeah.
The role Peter was playing before. Yeah, it's because he had enough and he walked off.
It was, yeah, so just absurd. I think absurd is going to be my word for this film.
Yes.
And not absurd in a fun way, just straight up absurd.
It was fun for me, Grady. I enjoy this film because I love what, I said it earlier, like I love watching something that's terrible, but when like a genuine attempt has been made, there is some sort of connection there for me, and it is fascinating to see like someone just screw up so badly while genuinely trying their absolute hardest, because it just makes you think like, why would you make any of the artistic decisions? Like I'm pretty sure like it's one of the few times after watching a film that I could sit that I just sit down and go, I think I could do better. I don't do that often because I'm pretty sure I have no talent in that area, but it's just the kind of things that make you sit down and go, you know, I could do better. I think you give me like a phone camera and like two actors, pretty sure you and I in this room with a phone camera could make a better feature-length movie than that.
I just read why Wiseau's dialogue was all dubbed in.
Why?
He couldn't memorize his lines. So he just mumbled on set, and they dubbed him in later where he could read off a piece of paper.
Oh.
Yeah, he had cue cards and everything, but he just couldn't get it. And the sound crew just gave up. They just let him dub it later. He also chose his outfit for the I Did Not Hit Her scene while the costume designer was out running an errand and refused to get changed. There's so many just weird, and I guess this is why you could make a movie about making this movie.
Yeah.
But there's just so much weird shit about this film. Like, half of my problem with this film, why I say it's garbage, is the contents, you know? Bell to bell, as we'd say, for like a wrestling match.
Yeah.
The other half is just, was so shit. It's just,
like, for a film that ends in a violent suicide, just... nothing happens. It's just so many scenes of just characters saying things. Things that, you know, yeah, those are English words and they form together to make sentences that are grammatically correct. But they just come from a place that's just so alien and baffling that I genuinely expected, like, the scene to freeze and the G-Man from Half-Life to come up.
Yeah, oh my god. 10% of the total running time is sex scenes. I believe every piece of that. Oh my god. It's rough, man.
It's a fantastic film, Grady.
How do you act drunk? What's the best way to act drunk when you're trying to film a drunk scene?
Recall on your previous experiences.
Nope. Being... Take heavy dosages of NyQuil and then Red Bull to counteract the sedative effects. That's how Tommy acts drunk.
Just buy some beer. Just get some actual... Like, you should... Okay. Like, they don't do this on actual film productions for obvious reasons. But, I mean, if you're that desperate, just get sloshed. Why NyQuil and Red Bull?
He had a stuffy nose.
Does NyQuil even help with that? Isn't it just a sleeping... Like,
I thought it was.
Yeah, I don't think they sell it here, because I don't think you can buy sleeping medication, like, from the store here, but...
No, because people keep making meth.
Because people keep making meth, yeah.
Welcome to New Zealand. You can't buy cold and flu meds, because you might make some meth.
Yeah. But, oh, that... Everything about this man is just so fascinating. Like... Okay, so after this film became weirdly successful, because, you know, it's just terrible, so how could you not... how could something like this not get popular? It is baffling and confusing, so of course people liked it. However, the guy, Greg, the guy who played Mark, he did actually... He wanted to make... To see if he could make, like, a movie that was actually good, but using Tommy, right?
Yeah.
As one of the lead actors. But he wanted to kind of... play into what Tommy would be good at. And so...
Batshit Insanity?
Yes. It is a film called Best Friends. The R is in the R is in brackets. In the Friends. It's weird, but that's kind of what it's going for. Because the film is that Tommy is like this really crazy, weird guy who... Greg is just like, you know, a regular average dude who runs into this absolute psychotic weirdo who has like all of these dolls that he keeps and this thing, and they go on like, but they end up becoming like weird friends and they go on like a road trip together. Actually a pretty decent watch.
I've realized that because we're in the same room, I'm defaulting to physical mannerisms.
Yes, I know.
And the audio listeners can't hear that. I've been nodding along for the last...
I've seen that, and I'm thinking, Grady, this is an audio-only format.
Look, we're in the room together, okay? It's hard. Look, I don't think you can convince me to watch another film that was so as touched. Yeah. I think this is like...
Oh, Best Friends isn't one movie, it's two movies. Best Friends Volume 1 and Volume 2. 230 minutes total running time, Grady.
Nope. Not doing it. No, not doing it.
I think Tommy Wiseau also served as the executive producer of Samurai Cop 2.
No, I'm good. You know, I think I can live my life without seeing another thing that Tommy Wiseau has touched. And preferably never seeing his bare ass ever again. But that's just a preference.
Yeah.
Also, there was something that I was harping on about the entire film when they had shots that were just, you know, out and about, etc. Yeah. I was so determined that they didn't have, like, a permit or a release to film this. They got in trouble with a police officer who asked to see their permit, and the crew just packed up and ran. Oh my god. This confirms to me that I wasn't crazy. Tommy does not have a permit in any way to be filming half of this movie.
Oh, but don't you want to watch any of his other productions, like Cold Moon, or Big Shark, which is coming up, or Untitled UFO Film, which is in pre-production right now?
Nope.
I want to watch Big Shark, though. Because the other ones, they were just actors, because it's people just getting on, like, oh, hey, Tommy, he's this weird guy, let's bring him on for the novelty value. But Big Shark, he is returning as both the writer, director, and producer, Grady.
No. That man should be never let near a script, ever. To be fair, he should never be let near Hollywood, or anywhere to a film camera, but at the very least, please do not let him near a script.
In 2015, he got his own sitcom.
Oh my god.
Six episodes. It's called The Neighbours.
Hey, Campion, do you know why they played catch with a football so often? Because there was a director's interview on the DVD and they asked him.
Yeah.
Tommy Wiseau's answer, and I quote, "Football is fun."
I want to just erase this film out of my life.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more I can... We've shat on this film for 30 minutes.
Do you want to watch this online web show, The Tommy Wiseau? Funded by Machinima back in the day, if I'm not mistaken.
Since it's an audio podcast, I'll just say that I visibly recoiled from Campion during that.
Oh, and granny, because that's what Tommy Wiseau looked like at the time, right? He looked like a gaunt, like, man-beast, right?
If you told me he was actually a vampire, I would have believed that he was a vampire.
not playing a vampire, like...
Oh, yes, Tommy is a vampire.
In real life, he is a vampire. He looks even worse now.
Alright, you got me.
Because he was 48 at the time of filming, which was nearly... we're coming up on the 20-year anniversary, Grady.
Nope. Not watching it again for his birthday. Oh my god.
No. Yeah, his face has just receded even more into his... And you've... He's a man who just looks eternally uncomfortable, which makes me uncomfortable.
He still hasn't washed his hair.
Yeah, and just to scroll back up a bit, like, the poster for the film is terrifying.
I don't like it. I want it gone. What, the guy from Until Dawn? Like, the main character?
Oh, alright.
Of course with Tommy. This is Big Shark. They put From the Creator of the Room on the movie poster. Like, that's going to get people to show up.
It will, Grady.
Yeah, it's sad. Really sad. Just end my suffering.
Well, fortunately, this is the absolute final episode, so...
No more cult potato ever. Because of this film.
Because of this film.
I was thinking before this, you know, oh, maybe we could go for another run, another couple seasons. Nope.
Sure, there are plenty of other bad movies we could watch. We could watch, like, Birdemic. We could watch The Room again.
The Room 2, but it's just The Room. We just watch it again.
Yeah, The Room 2. More Room. We watch Manos, The Hands of Fate.
What?
Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Can we watch Thanksgiving?
No.
Oh, that's a half-decent film.
That's why we're not watching it.
It's too good. Do you have anything more about this film you want to say?
It's better than American Horror Story Cult. I'll say that much.
Okay.
Have you seen that?
No.
That is an absolute nightmare of a show. And not nightmare in the good way. Just want to, because it's a horror, I just want to say no, it's terrible.
Fair. Yeah. I feel bad because this is like the finale episode. It's the only one we recorded in the same room.
Yeah.
And like I'm sitting here 30 minutes into the recording. This might be the shortest episode ever. Just bashing my head against the desk going, please, any film but this. And I did it to myself. I got to pick this.
You could have just picked Star Wars, Grady. We could just have a lovely chat about, you know, A New Hope, which is a fantastic film. But no.
We had too many good things back to back. We had Scrubs, we had Community, we had Futurama, Transformers for You. Had to end it on a dud. This is an absolute garbage film.
But aren't you glad that you've seen it, Grady?
I am glad that I finally experienced what people are talking about.
Yeah.
I don't want to experience it ever again.
It's nice to be in on that cultural zeitgeist.
Yeah, now I know the phrase like, oh, hi, Mark.
And, okay, how is your sex life?
Yeah, I'm going to bust that one out next time I'm at the family reunion.
Yeah. Just like, no, the test came back. And I definitely have breast cancer.
Oh, according to Tommy, she fully recovers from breast cancer. He answered that looming question, if anybody wondered.
To be honest, you could just make a movie about her dealing with breast cancer, and that'd be a significantly more interesting film.
Ugh. There's so much stuff that just happened for no reason.
Yeah.
Flower shop scene, coffee scene, the breast cancer subplot, the stuff that happened on the roof with the drugs.
Those random two people who show up with no introduction and just have sex in their living room for no goddamn reason.
Denny entirely doesn't need to be in this film.
But now we have Chris R!
No.
Grady, do you know why Chris R is important to the plot?
Why?
Because that's where Johnny gets his gun from.
Really?
It's the same gun, yeah. I'm assuming that's me as a viewer watching.
No, they just paid for one prop gun. It was plastic as all hell.
Well, I'm assuming, because, you know, he takes the gun away, and we never find out what happened to him.
It does look the same.
I like to think there's a much better, much darker movie going on in the background, where Mark and Johnny take Chris R out to the alleyway and they beat him to death.
Maybe, man. That would be a much better film. Yeah. I'd just watch that. We have a scene like Roddy Piper and, what's his face? Or he's blank.
Hulk Hogan?
No, the film we watched, the alien one.
Oh, right! Keith Davidson's character. Yeah.
Yeah. Look.
That was a good movie.
Brain.
We used to watch good movies on this, Grady.
Look, we watched some good films. We watched some garbage films. Yeah. This is the most garbage. This is worse than Monty Python. I'm saying it now. It's worse than Monty Python. It's worse than whatever other film you thought was garbage. I don't remember. There was one that was really bad.
Birdemic is the other one. I think they came out at around the same time.
No, we did a... Oh, God, I, like, leant into the microphone. Oh, no.
Whoa, you were on Cerebee?
Of course. Gotta get those Pokemon news. I love how the plot has been in this folder for so long. Like, all of the movies we're gonna watch have been in here, and you, like, just haven't noticed. What was the other
It's easier if I just ask you.
2001 was bad. Those are probably what I'd put in my, like, you hated Puff and Stuff.
I did not like Puff and Stuff. That was a fever dream.
Look, we watched some garbage films on here, but I do think The Room is the worst one. Can you agree with me on that?
There's a reason why it's cited as one of the worst movies ever made.
I thought you were going to vote Puff and Stuff over The Room. There was a chance.
No, it is one of the worst movies ever made. I do think yours worse because The Room fits into a category that I like to call it's so bad it's good, because there's at least some entertainment value you can strain from this.
True.
But there are bad films out there that you just watch and it is painful to sit through. Like, it is impossible.
You know what one of those is that The Room is better than?
What?
Scrubs Season 9. Got to get one more dig in it.
One more dig at Scrubs Season 9. Yeah, I'm talking about things like, Birdemic is one, Battlefield Earth is the other big one, that movie. Well, Birdemic is still kind of fun to watch, but Battlefield Earth is just... Have you sat through it?
No.
It is nearly impossible to sit through.
I'm sure you tried to, like, get me to watch it, and I, like, didn't.
It was like the film, it was John Travolta's vanity project that he made about, like, one of the sci-fi books that L. Ron Hubbard, you know, the creator of Scientology, made.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
You can't deal with it, can you?
No. I don't know what else to say. I feel like I've shat on this movie too much, and I got no redeeming qualities to give it. I can't sit here and be like, oh yeah, but at least this character was well written and had a good plot.
Yeah, and you can't even go like, because usually you can go by the old standby of, at least it was shot decently. It was shot okay, because...
Half the shots were out of focus because the crew didn't even give a shit. They just, like, didn't even focus the lens at all in half of the shots.
You can't even go, oh, the music was okay. It wasn't. The only music that was in the film was either the Room theme, which played over and over again, or the Booty Jam songs, which there were many.
There was four different sex scene songs. That was the entire credit section for the music, was just those four songs.
Yeah.
I hate it. This might be the only movie we've watched that I say I will hate. I'm just going to sit in silence now.
Do you want to play The Room video game?
No.
Oh, no. Never. For those of you who don't know, there is... I don't know if it's still on Newgrounds, because I know there was that whole thing with Flash and converting stuff to HTML, and there was a lot of problems with that. But there was a Room video... Someone made a Room game on Flash... Well, on Newgrounds, and it's actually pretty solid.
Look, it can have it. You know why? Because Tommy Wiseau didn't touch it.
Well, okay, the game was taking the piss out of the movie, so, you know, it was gonna be much better, regardless.
trying my best. You're stalling, vamp.
Vamp? Well, I mean, I don't really know what else there is to say, really, because it is a very iconic bad cult movie. Like, people like me who enjoy this kind of garbage is just...
There's not a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's tons of bad movies, but it's so rare that there are bad movies out there that are just worth watching. Like, I think the works of Ed Wood really come to mind. He was a director famous for making just the worst movies. But
The Room Tribute, is that the name of it?
Maybe? I don't think so, because there's just so many of them.
From Newgrounds.
Is this just an HTML you pulled off of them?
This? No, this is Flashpoint Launcher. It lets you play old Flash games.
That actually might be it. That looks familiar.
I'm not playing it.
Okay.
But I found it. I have it. I could play it. I'm just not going.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this just becomes a Let's Play. An audio-only Let's Play.
Okay, Grady. Any final words you wanted to say, closing out the... Not just The Room, but the podcast in general?
The Room is a hot piece of garbage. Watch it once for the experience, never again. The podcast, it's been great recording. We did, I think, 30 episodes in the end, if you include April Fools. Mm. Had a long run. I'm glad to have a project that we finish on our own terms for once. And yeah, keep an eye out, I guess, on whatever the hell is going to be next.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Eventually. Provided this hasn't sucked all of the...
I got nothing left, man. You gotta give me like 6 months to recover from this movie. A minimum.
No problem, dude. No problem. Alright, so.
For the last time,
Grady, do you want to send us out?
Nah, it's your show. I'm just the editor.
You're... You say that. You're the one who volunteered. I bring this up every time you complain. I was more than happy to edit it. You volunteered.
I think I volunteered in the middle of an episode, too.
Yes. I think you're correct.
It was like episode 2 or 3.
And you're like, oh, I'll do this. I'm like, you sure, Grady? I can do this. No, I'll do it. Why not?
Look, I only have to edit one more.
I only have to edit one more.
And it's one waveform because we're on the same waveform.
Anyway, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on this, the final episode of the Cult Movie Cult Potato Podcast. As always, I have been Campion, and joining me for this long, long ride, my good buddy Grady. This has been the Lexicon of Lore, and we hope to see you all eventually, whatever the next thing may bring.